the biggest battles you and I face as people and fight them probably on a regular basis are battles within, on the inside, and fights that is within our own soul. And most of what happens on the outside of us really we respond to that by how we're doing in our heart and what's happening to us at the level of our character. And Jesus does want to change us from the inside out and is committed to improving that and making us more like Him. So this message really to say, Lord, change us from the inside out. Once a little boy came home from school and the year had ended, he was happy to hit the outside activities, and he put his book bag in his room and off he goes for several weeks of fun and good things happening in the sunshine. And pretty soon his room started to smell a little suspicious. So his parents said, your room doesn't smell real clean. Why don't you clean your room up, will you? And so he went out and did that. But the bad situation remained. So the parents said, well, we'll clean the room and get straightened out what needs straightened out. They did. And still it was a bad situation. Finally they said, it must be the rug. We're going to have to get the rug cleaned. If we get the rug cleaned, everything will be okay. Well, before they called the rug cleaner, they noticed that the book bag was sitting there, and the bad smell seemed to be centered around the book bag. And so they opened up the book bag, and behold, it was a half-eaten ham sandwich that was really messing up everything. The book bag could no longer be used for the purpose it was intended to be used. And so once they dealt with that, everything was fine. Now, on the outside, everything might appear fine and okay, but on the inside, there might be a great unhealth. This could happen to us as people. The Bible says, man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. God's Holy Spirit helps us to look at our own heart. And Jesus wants to work on our character, or us on the inside primarily. And you say, what's character? Sometimes you go for a job interview and people look at references. They'll call people who know you and say, what's the person's character like? What are those qualities in them that seem to be fairly set and really express who they are? That's our character. And the Holy Spirit tells us, surprisingly, there are two major character trends for every believer, every Christian. Two major character trends. And we can go one way or the other, depending on which character we would like to have expressed through our lives. The first character trend we have when we're born, it gets developed and expressed throughout our life. We have it until the day we die. And there's no improving on this character trend. That's the one thing to keep in mind and to hear. No improving on this character trend. It has to be put aside or counted as not important, counted as crucified, the Bible said. That character trend is called the sinful nature. That's a character trend in every believer still in Christ. You have it, I have it, the sinful nature. The second character trend, which fights against the first character trend, is called God's Spirit. God's Spirit in all His beauty and power and just the heart of Jesus Himself coming to us. And God's Spirit, which is very beautiful, battles our sinful nature on a regular basis. I wanted to look at both character trends and see, you decide what character you would like to have in your life to represent who you are as a person. And first, let's look at the sinful nature. The sinful nature is our life story without God's help. And it's not a pretty picture in terms of how we are inside without His help. Paul describes it in almost an autobiography of who we are. It's very nasty. It says, In the sinful nature, there's sexual immorality, idolatry, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, factions, envy. You and I might still express those kind of things on a regular basis. That's part of our character that we need to put aside to have a new character. And without following God, that's what we do and that's who we are. One of the sad things that sometimes the world cries out for is that they look at the character of believers, how we are and how we live, And sometimes they don't see any significant difference between their nature and just the nature that a Christian expresses. They say, oh, it's basically the same way. So we need the Lord's help. The Bible says in Jeremiah, for example, speaking to God's people, can a leopard change its spots? So neither you, who are used to doing evil, can do good. That's the desperation of the character trend in the wrong direction, away from God. It's very strong. We underestimate it. And we need God's help desperately to have a different character. Let's take a look at some of the parts of our sinful nature, just a sampling, and see, is this really the way we want to live as people who know Christ? The first one Paul mentions is sexual immorality. It's a big one today, very popular to be immoral. It's almost like a pattern of thinking and behavior and more accepted in society. But God's gift to us instead is faithfulness, purity, marital faithfulness. He'd offer that to us. Without Christ, our character would go in the other direction. What's sexual immorality like? Well, once a boy got a gift of a bicycle that he heard about. He thought it would be terrific to have one. He wanted it for quite a long time. And so his parents got him a bicycle several weeks before Christmas. They said, you can have this bike, enjoy the bike. You got to use it properly. You got to use it in the right timing of the thing. You can't go out there now. You make a muck of it in the bad weather. So the boy was thankful for a bit, but not having much patience and being out of control there, he began to not want to wait to use the bicycle that was just suited for him as a special gift. He went out to look for other bicycles. And he would steal bicycles from other stores and ride them. And every time he did, he'd wreck them and it hurt himself. And he said, well, I'm still into bicycles. Got to experience the bicycle right now. For me, felt like maybe he was missing love in his life or closeness. So he purchased bicycle magazines, as many as he could. And he looked at the bicycle magazines and, look at those bicycles, tremendous. He'd spend hours looking at the bicycle magazine. This is what I think I need in my life. And so he went for that. And he was even delighted to discover that if he went on the internet, there were tens of thousands of websites for bicycles. And he just spent time, wow, look at those bicycles, they are terrific. However, the more he did that, the less and less he was thankful to his parents for giving him the special gift of the bicycle that they would want to give him. And the less he was actually interested in riding that bike the way the Lord wanted him to. And soon he came to his senses and said, I know what I'll do. I'll be thankful for what God has given me as a gift. The bicycle is specially suited for me. And if I ride it the way I'm supposed to, how wonderful, wonderful that gift is. And so God, in terms of morality, and in terms of the gift of sexuality, when we say, Lord, this is a gift from you, God takes us away from that character trend that we would have without his help. And we say, thank you, God, for the gift of faithfulness and health and purity that you would give. It's not by accident that God, when he put down the sinful nature and then described the fruit of God's Spirit, he put love right at the top in the exact opposite position that he put sexual immorality. Because it's been said by people who have struggled in that area that love is the great cure for immorality. And the more you love God and are close to people around you that are very special to you, the less you are interested in sexual immorality. Love is the great cure for lust. And C.S. Lewis said one time that everybody who knocks on the door of a prostitute, he wrote back in the 1940s, is really knocking on the door for closeness both with their Creator and key people in their life. There was a fellow named Augustine who was a great leader in the early church, 3rd and 4th century. And he wrote something that he thought was a good ethic for life. He said this, love God and do what you like. Love God and do what you like. Because he knew if people loved God, that love would be a change of character in them, that they would not go to their character trend of immorality that people so often and easily do. And how often we need the Lord's help with that as we do with other sins. Love is the great cure for that sin and a host of others. Well, what about the character trend of idolatry? Idolatry will trip more folks up perhaps than immorality itself. Idolatry is when you love or fear or serve anything more than God. What really intimidates me in life, or what do I serve? Billy Graham this morning, I heard him on the radio in a replayed message of his, said that self is the number one idol for people today. It's just concern about self and how the self is doing. Other factors of idolatry in our lives, sometimes our job, that becomes more important to us than almost anything. Money or things, security, popularity. Tony Campolo said once when he was a teenager, he was very skilled at many things in school. He's a Christian speaker. He said he would walk down the hallways of school and listen to people sing, "How Great Thou Art," to him in his imagination. And then that's self turned in on itself, idolatry. Lloyd Ogilvie, who was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate, prayed that God would keep us as a people from idols. He said, Lord, too often we are attached to the applause of others. And we go after the adrenaline that hits us in a bad way in terms of what we can achieve instead of who you are, Lord, and what you mean to us. And he prayed that we would be taken away from idolatry. Sometimes even family can become an idol. Church can become an idol when we think the church can save us as opposed to Jesus. When Jesus saves us, we love the church. When we think the church can save us, we play games with the church. We resent the church. And we're always trying to please the mother church, as some groups would call it. But Christ as Savior can replace idolatry. I was talking to a lady this week who had a lot of disabilities, but she didn't make an idol on what she did not have. She was very limited in what she could do. She said in these words, without me even bringing up the subject, she said, you know, I can't hear very well and I can't walk very well, but I'm learning to be thankful for what I have and the things I can do. You know, her thankfulness was a great cure of any idolatry she would have in her life. And God's character trait of rejoicing can replace the idolatry in our own hearts. And then there's hatred, discord, and dissensions. Three qualities we will get into in a massive way without the Holy Spirit forming our character. We get a porcupine personality. You know what a porcupine personality is? It's somebody with a lot of good points, but are always poking at others. Can't resist that. And to be in dissension means literally to stand apart from. I have to hide from people and perhaps from God. To stand apart from. That is not of God's Spirit. That's a character trend that He would wean us away from. 1 John 3:14 says something very convicting. It says, anyone who does not love abides in death. So if I don't love people in a proactive manner, I'm basically going to be creating pockets of faction and spiritual death all around me. You know, sometimes I think, well, I'm walking with the Lord because I didn't do a lot of bad things, so I'm walking with the Lord. Did you love? Anyone who does not love abides in death. My wife one time almost got a job for the Allegheny County Coroner. photography in the Allegheny County morgue. And went through the interview process, and in God's providence, that didn't work out. But to work in a morgue, sad, unclaimed situations of death, spiritual death, when someone is open to you and you're not open back. Someone smiles at you and you don't have maybe not the spiritual health at that moment to be loving back. Those who do not love, the Bible says, abide in death. We don't want to abide in death spiritually. That's a character trend unless Christ would come and give his love for God, love for people. Well, that's the bad character trend of the sinful nature. What's the good character trend from Christ? God's Word describes it wonderfully. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And here are these qualities. Somebody said this is a good description of who Jesus' character, who he is. Jesus is love, joy, his character, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. What a Lord we have. Aren't you glad Christ is not a Savior who flies off the handle at us, who's impatient, who's filled with a hatred. He's out to get people, you know. Christ, love personified. God is love. And then someone said, you take those good character qualities, and God's will for us is that we put our name, and this is humbling to do, put your name along with Christ at the beginning of those descriptions. Jesus with you, you put your name in there. Your character is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the goodness to you against sin. There's a faithfulness. There's a self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. With that kind of character change, you're fulfilling all the law of God. Paul said, this is how you fulfill the whole law. Loving others as yourself, Christ's character in you. A new autobiography, Christ's character in you. You think of some of the tragic figures of history. I'm sure that they think like you and I think, if I could just go back and rewrite my college age years or my elementary school years or whatever it is for you, my recent years, if I could just rewrite them, God could rewrite the character issue for you in your heart. Because he's gracious. And it's the fruit of what he can do. There was a fellow named Jonathan Edwards who was very gifted and talented in many ways. Wonderful preacher, great intellect, president of Yale University in the 1700s. But he was a simple man who had a lot of flaws in his life. He was kind of reserved. He didn't connect well with people. And real quiet in his communication ability. But when people would meet him, they would say things like, we see something of God in his life. And that's the best thing about who he is. That's his character. Chris Matthews, who runs a TV show called Hardball, he tries to ask tough questions and then argues with people. That's a great way to live. Some of us do that without even getting paid for it. You know, we play hardball with people. Let's do that. He talked about interviewing Billy Graham once, and he said, when I interviewed Billy Graham, it was like interviewing the spiritual daddy for the whole nation. He respected Christ in Billy Graham. He said this, when I sat down with him, I got chills. It was almost like I had an encounter with the divine. He knew Billy Graham wasn't Jesus, but he saw the impact of Jesus in a simple man. If you know Billy Graham, God bless him, he's a very simple man. And so are you, and so am I. And if we try to produce the fruit of God, maybe with our own effort or religiosity, we get in trouble. This is a constant pain to believers. If we say, well, we'll be as holy as we can be, and then it will be like Christ, as if our holiness helps us connect to Christ. It's Christ who helps us to connect to holiness. Who he is as a person. Isn't it great? We follow a living Savior, not just a bunch of precepts. And sometimes we say this about ourselves or others. If I could just straighten out my character, then I'll turn to God. Because he's not interested in me now. I'm all messed up. No, you turn to Christ first. And then he washes clean. He changes patiently with peace and love from the inside out. Billy Graham said, the Bible tells us we can't produce godliness apart from God's Spirit. In ourselves, we're filled with self-interest, self-seeking desires opposed to God. So there's the character trends for us. Sinful nature, God's Spirit. Graham asked us to consider these questions if we want to go with God's Spirit. Any unconfessed sin in our lives? Jesus says, talk to him about it. He's ready to forgive and bring changes. Do you have any broken relationships that need healing? Be healed on your part of the relationships as much as possible. Live at peace with others. God can help powerfully and miraculously. I'd someday share some personal testimonies about that, but how God can heal, those kind of things. And then, are you seeking God each day in His Word? Love letter to you. Are you praying and asking God to develop His character in you? Lord, change me from the inside out, because I know the trend of my sin nature without you. I'll be a pagan in every way. The Bible says, let's keep in step with the Spirit. How can we keep in step with this wonderful gift of a new character? Well, you one step at a time. That's how we walk. That's a very humbling thing. Just one at a time. Colossians says, as you've received Christ, walk in Him. Somebody compared it to walking in the shelter and safety of a big building. Let's say this church, if this were to represent your whole, if you could push it out into the universe and say, just walk within this fellowship, this atmosphere, you'll be safe. To walk in Christ is like that. We go out of bounds right away. We injure ourselves, grieve God, and hurt others. But daily, can we do it daily? Because we say, thank you, Jesus. You love us, and we recognize these things as your character that you'll build in us. Once a husband had a day off work, and someone asked him, what are you planning on doing on your day off? He says, well, my daughter's swing broke. I want to fix that. My son wants to go to the museum. I want to take him there, and my wife wants to visit her family. We're going to go see them. And the friend said, what? It doesn't sound like much of a day off, fixing swings and going to a museum and visiting in-laws. And the man said, well, it's an exciting day if you love your family. It's an exciting day if you love your family. And those qualities, if we could say, Lord, help us love you like we know for the wonderful Savior you are. All those character issues, God begins to work with us one step at a time. Patiently, there has to be a willingness. And remember that the battle is there, but we have to want God's way. And I find He wins the battle if we're willing. Would you like His work in your character? I close with this in terms of God's end of how He feels about us. What do you think God experiences when He works with us? His character is expressed. When He works with us and we say, yes, Lord, we want this, He expresses love and joy, peace and patience. He's kind to us. He's good. He's faithful. He's full of self-control. And who would not want to meet and follow a Savior like Him? And we'll sing together as a way of saying, Lord, we want Your character in us all the time and in a growing way. All to Jesus I surrender. It's a serious song. And sometimes we sing it as if God is twisting our arm. And, well, my life is so wonderful, Lord, without you. It's a tough call, but I surrender to you. Remember what you're surrendering. You're surrendering character is basically in the garbage dump. Would you surrender the immorality, the discord, the hatred, the fits of rage? Would you surrender that to Jesus? The selfish ambition? And then he brings his character into our hearts. What a gift that he would give. So sing with joyful resolve and patient walking. All to Jesus I surrender. Make it a day of change in your life that you start to follow Christ with great yielding and surrender to him. I didn't say it at the first service. One fellow put it this way. He said, when I really started to follow God, God convinced me that I didn't have to have my way in every setting of life. Well, that's a major breakthrough right there. I'm excited for God's way, whatever he would bring. Could we stand and pray to God and sing, I also to Jesus I surrender.